Well, this morning we're going to continue in the series of sermons on living a balanced life. We know that when God is working in our lives, when God speaks to us, many times we don't understand what God is saying. And when we finally figure out what God is saying, it requires faith in order to join Him in what He is doing. And in order to be the individuals that God wants us to be, we have to adjust our lives. And that means adjusting our attitudes. Our attitudes many times govern many of the things that happen in our lives. And so we have to adjust our attitudes. We also need to be able to make good decisions. Good decisions are based on a criteria. And I've shared this with you before, but it bears sharing again. That criteria is having a conviction within, seeing the circumstances outside, having common sense, the counsel of others, the confirmation of Scripture as you're reading through God's Word. God speaks to you and it confirms the direction that He's leading. The center of God's will, as well as commitment of faith. Those seven things, when those things are lining up, and they may not all line up, you may be lacking, you know, the center of God's will, or you might be lacking, you know, confirmation of Scripture, or you might be lacking common sense, I don't know. But most of the time, when many of those things are present, it's safe to say that you're able to make a good, sound decision, because decisions determine direction, and direction determines your destination. So having made those good decisions, we can keep Jesus in the center of everything we do. We also see that the U would stand for understanding the circumstances and the situations that we're in. That S stands for submitting to authority. And the T stands for trusting God for the results. Well, as we've been looking at living our lives in a balanced way and living a balanced life, we know that there are five areas of our lives that require balance. The spiritual area, the relational area, the financial area, the physical area, as well as the emotional area. And we've looked at several different things throughout that. We have seen that to have a spiritual balance, you need to live with a purpose. You need to live dreaming that dream that God has given you. You need to live freely, not letting the past hold you back and be an anchor and tethering you to the past so that you can truly have a future. And then we know that we need to live with an intention, that we need to be intentional about our spiritual well-being. If we're going to have a relational balance, we need to live selflessly and lovingly. We need to live connecting to individuals as well as to God. And we need to live serving. And we've also been looking at financial balance, that we would truly be able to live wisely and responsibly and live generously and indelibly. Well, today we're going to start looking at the physical realm, to live fully. Whenever I'm praying, there are certain habits that you get into. There are certain phrases that you use repeatedly. Not always are those things bad. We know that Jabez prayed continually, and he prayed four things: that God would bless him and bless him abundantly, that God would expand his territory and his influence, that God would keep his hand on him, and that God would keep him from sin and evil. Those four things. I pray those things over my family, over the church. But there are other things that I pray. I pray, Lord, I surrender all of me to all of you, so that all of you might be able to live in and through all of me. What I mean by that is this: Lord, I surrender my mind, the way I think. Lord, I surrender my will, the things that I desire, the things that I'm working towards. I surrender that to you. Lord, I surrender my body to you. Help me to eat right. Help me to exercise right. Help me to physically be the person that you want me to be. Lord, I surrender my spirit, my soul, all of my emotions. I surrender my past, my present, and my future. Lord, I surrender all of my desires, all of my goals, all of the things that I want. God, I surrender all of me so that when I am done, there's nothing left. That's surrendering fully. It's much easier to say than to do. Because when I surrender everything, my mind, my emotions, my will, my desires, my goals, when I surrender everything, the first thing that happens is I take some of that back. Amen? I want this, not that. I want to get there. I don't want to get there. And that's what happens to us. We surrender it, and then we take it back. See, a true surrender never takes anything back. When someone holds you up at gunpoint and you surrender, you don't go, well, just go ahead and shoot. No, you go, don't shoot. Don't shoot. Don't shoot. My hands are up. I surrender all. See, God wants us to surrender fully and wholly. And when I say wholly, that's with a W. W-H-O-L-E. He wants all of us, not just part of us. He doesn't want us to reserve sections of our lives that are under our control. Because what happens is, when we reserve certain sections of our lives, and we give control of this part of our life, but not this part of our life, what happens is we start taking away from what we've given him, and we start taking control of that as well. God wants all of us. That's why Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica. And it's interesting the words and the terms that Paul used. I'd like to have you look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to see how Paul was talking to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means completely. And the very God of peace sanctify you completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you want every aspect of our lives and that you want us to surrender that. And that you want to so use us and indwell us and empower us and embody us so that we can be Christ in this community. So that we can be Christ in our families. So that we can be Christ in the workplace. And Father God, we pray that we might see how you desire us to live fully, completely for you. And Father, we pray that today you might touch our hearts, that our lives will be changed. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Why would Paul list body, soul, and spirit? Was he giving us an anatomy course? Was he trying to teach us how we are complete? Was he trying to emphasize something that would make sense to us? I believe that Paul was trying to get the same point across to the church at Thessalonica, and that point is this: you cannot compartmentalize your areas of life. Our lives cannot be, and that's the first point. Our entire life is connected. Every area of our life is connected to the other areas. Yes, the spiritual balance is the basis for the relational balance, for the financial balance, for the physical balance, and for the emotional balance. It supports it all. But they are all interconnected. See, there is a myth, and it's the most distorted idea that many, many individuals have. And that's the fact that they believe that they can separate their faith from the rest of their lives. They can separate their faith from their business. They can separate their faith from their family. They can separate their faith for their recreation. They can separate and compartmentalize their entire life. And that is a distorted idea. It's a diabolical idea. See, our spiritual life cannot be compartmentalized because our spiritual life affects every other area of our lives. It's individuals that believe this idea, this distorted idea, that see themselves as Christ followers on Sunday. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they see themselves as controlling their own life. Oh, they're Christ followers on Sunday, all right. They go to church, they get that box checked, but the rest of their lives are out of sorts and out of balance because they're trying to compartmentalize different aspects of their lives. When individuals see themselves and see their faith on one level and believe, well, my faith isn't to be a part of my workplace. It's not to be a part of politics. It's not to be a part of my socializing. My faith is a very private thing. Have you ever heard that? A person that says that has a distorted view of God. Every area of our life is connected, and each area impacts the other areas. That's the second point. The spiritual balance affects our relational balance, the financial balance. It affects the physical balance and the emotional balance. Everything is interconnected. It cannot be compartmentalized. Just because the spiritual balance is the basis for everything else, when we're out of balance in another area of our life, it affects every area. Let me explain it to you like this. Let's just look at finances for a moment. Let's say you're living paycheck to paycheck, as most of us today here in this place are doing. No one just has an abundance of money and says, it doesn't matter, I just pay the bills as they come in. Oh, there might be one or two of you, but the rest of us have to have a budget. But let's say you're living paycheck to paycheck, very close. You have been able to pay your bills, to pay them on time. You're doing fairly good, but you're payment poor. Almost every dollar is spoken for. You have a little extra money and you can go out for supper once in a while, maybe once a week, twice a week if you're lucky, take in a movie, enjoy life. You can do that. But then all of a sudden, something happens with your vehicle. It's making a funny noise. You take it into Meineke, and now you find out that you need a whole new brake system because the brakes are no longer good on your automobile. And it's nasty, and you don't have the money to pay for it. And so now you've got some anxiety. Your emotions are on edge to the point that a loved one comes to you and says, what's the matter, honey? And you go, nothing. And you bite their head off. And then you feel bad about it. And you don't want to pray to God because God's going to bring that up to you. And you're going to have to go to your loved one. And you're going to have to apologize for them. And you just don't want to pray. So you don't do it that night or the next night or the next night or the next night. And now there's a wedge between you and God. There's a wedge between you and your loved one. Your emotions are still on edge. All because your brakes went out. Every area of our life affects another area. And that's why it's so important that we have balance in our lives. It can affect us negatively. And when it affects us negatively, there's dysfunction and chaos as a result of that. That's why we need to see that we cannot compartmentalize any area of our lives. We cannot compartmentalize any area of our lives. It affects us negatively, and it can also affect us positively. Where you have balance, and you maintain that balance, and something happens, well, you're not going to let that rock your boat here spiritually or relationally or financially. I'm going to put things in order and keep things in order. And the result of that is a healthy balance. When problems come, there are things that are revealed. And they're revealed through our tongue and our tone, our tone of voice, the way we speak, the way we carry ourselves. When there's balance in our lives, it affects our credibility to where when you say you're going to do something, people know that you will do what you say you will do. When there's unbalance, when there's problems in our lives, it affects us in a negative way. And it affects our integrity. So that when we make a promise, people just smile and walk away and go, that's not going to happen. And see, we don't want that. Well, Pastor, why are you talking about that in the physical? Because many times, That brake job causes us to have anxiety. We bite our loved one's head off. We don't want to go to God. And our solution is to sit in front of the TV and eat a bowl of ice cream. Amen? It affects us physically as well. And when we're physically out of balance, we can't be the person that God wants us to be. That's why it's important that we do not compartmentalize any area of our life, because every area affects the other areas. I like ice cream. There's nothing wrong with ice cream. Matter of fact, I had some last night. I had two cookies also. Did I have four? When did I have four? I'm out of balance. And when I took my blood before I went to bed, I realized that at 275. Yeah. Took my insulin, got up this morning, fixed breakfast, and thought, I better check it again just to make sure I'm still at 165. So I had to take some more. Out of balance. But it wasn't because of anxiety. It was just kind of, okay, it's Saturday night. And because my wife said, you want some ice cream? I swear she's trying to kill me. But there's no life insurance policy. I can't figure that out. Oh. But we have to maintain balance. And that leads me to the second point. The second point is this. You are a whole person. You are a whole person. You're not just made up of pieces. See, for us to compartmentalize different areas of our life and say, okay, the spiritual realm is okay, but my physical realm is out of whack. Guess what? Because your physical realm is out of whack and you are a whole person, it's affecting every area of your life, whether you want to admit it or not. Because we're using sometimes those things as a crutch. You are a whole person. Look with me, please, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And you'll have to listen faster as the time is ticking away. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies, your whole person. See, what he is wanting, he's not wanting a dead sacrifice. See, many people will say, I'll give my life for you. God, I'll give my life for you. I'll lay my life down. Willing to die. But what good is that? That's not a living testimony. Paul says, God wants a living sacrifice, a living testimony. That's why Paul is saying that we should surrender our entire person, to surrender all that we have, and to surrender all that we are, so that we can truly know who we are. Surrender to the fact of who we are. Now I'm going to ask you a very important question. If I was to ask you, what is your occupation? What would you say? You might say, well, I'm a teacher, or I work at Lowe's, or I'm a construction worker, or I'm a homemaker, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm this, or I'm that, and you would be absolutely wrong. It's not your occupation, that's your vocation. Vocation describes what you do. Occupation describes who you are. Who occupies you? Who occupies you? Who bought you? Who possesses you? Because if we are bought by Jesus Christ through his shed blood, we belong to him. That's who we are. When we realize who we are, then we can worship him for who he is. And God wants us to understand that fact, that when we realize who we are, it changes the how. You might say, what? It changes the how. It changes how we see things. And when that is changed, when it changes how we see things, it changes how we do things. Our mode of operation is different. You are a whole person. And that's what he wants, is for us to surrender our entire person. And notice what he says. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Better words would be, which is your expected worship. That's what I expect out of you. I expect, because I have made you whole, that you would worship me in this manner. That you would worship me with your mind, with your soul, with your spirit and your body. That you don't compartmentalize anything, because you are a whole person. I ask you to surrender, all of you. And that is the expected act of worship. Because God has changed who we are. And since he has changed who we are, now we can operate differently. He has regenerated us. When God created the world, he created Adam and Eve. And as he created Adam and Eve, he created Adam in his own image, and then from Adam he created Eve. And they had perfect fellowship, koinonia, with God. And because they had perfect fellowship, God and the rest of his creation, he gave all of his creation to Adam and Eve and said, here, you are now the stewards over my creation. You are the masters. You are the governors. You're the managers of my creation. And I'm going to let you manage all of that, but don't eat of this tree. And because if you do, the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. So what did they do? They failed in their stewardship. They failed in their management. And the moment they ate and sinned, they died. Not the physical death, but the spirit within them died. And because the spirit within them died, now they could no longer have fellowship with God. They could not have koinonia. And because they could not have koinonia, they were ashamed. They saw themselves as being naked, and they needed to be covered up. So God had to kill an animal to cover them so that they would not be shameful. All that did is address the symptom. It didn't change the cause. And for hundreds of years, they had to sacrifice animals year after year after year to satisfy the symptom. Because the soul that sins shall surely die. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So God, in his infinite love, sacrificed himself to change the cause. And now that which is dead is regenerated. It is now alive. And because that spirit that was dead, that now is alive, we can now fellowship and have koinonia with God once again, at just as he created Adam and Eve to have. We've been regenerate. I have brown eyes. Kathy has blue eyes. I have brown eyes because of my genetics. She has blue eyes because of her genetics. But our genetics now have been changed. We are regened. That which is dead is now alive and can have fellowship. Guess what? We are what do they call it, a GMO? Yeah, we are. We are a genetically modified organism. We are a GMO. We have been genetically modified. And now that spirit within us is alive. He has made us whole. God has made us whole. That's the third thing. Come on, there we go. God has made us whole. By killing the animals, all it did was manage the symptom. But God has made us whole by regenerating us. And because he has made us whole, that's what he is wanting from us, to live fully. So that we are not compartmentalizing each area of our life, the spiritual, the relational, the financial, the physical, and the emotional. God does not want us compartmentalizing our lives. God wants us to be whole. And because he has done what he has done, now we are whole. The question that I have for you today, have you been made whole through faith in Jesus Christ? That's the question. It's not hard to answer. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, ask God to forgive you, and by faith accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been made whole. And now you too are a child of God. And now you can worship him and live fully, not needing to compartmentalize the different areas of our lives, because each area is connected to the others, and it affects each other either in a positive way or a negative way. We're going to have a song of invitation this morning. Tonight we will finish this message. I have a special surprise, special pictures for you to see tonight that will truly should be a blessing to you.